CliffCentral.com. The Unview, the Thin, the Rich, and the Fabulous on CliffCentral.com.
Good morning to you as we come live to you from Johannesburg. Of course, you can also podcast us and listen to all the podcasts here on The Unview, where we're the Thin, the Rich, and the Fabulous. We still don't know who's thin, we still don't know who's rich,
but we know who's fabulous.
We're definitely fabulous. Good morning.
Good morning, Alan Ford.
Welcome
How
back
you?
From Cape Town.
Thank you kindly.
I missed you last week.
I missed you the 2 weeks before that when you were in Cape Town.
Things happen.
Sure.
Things happen.
Ships passing in the night. Eh?
This is your entertainment show every single week here on CliffCentral.com. And it's been an interesting week in Johannesburg, especially if you lived in Alexander, Sandton, Athol, Bryanston, close to Midrand.
Four ways.
Yeah. And I tell you why. There is no water. And it is a terrible feeling when there is no water. Because I've got to just tell you, people are swimming in washing in pools. They're...
Not in Alex.
I can't even tell you, at least they have the stream. The X-Gay. I'm not being funny, but in the middle of Sandton, we have no streams. There is nowhere to. And then the concept of, I'm going to go to my local gym, or, you know, that's impossible. If you have family in the area, you're all in the same situation.
I must say, I think it's quite nice, though, because it's a little bit of a sympathy thing with Cape Town. I think it's teaching Joburgers that are about to go to Cape Town on holiday, listen, start practicing having no water, because don't go to Cape Town and use up the little bit they have.
Can I tell you where I think you're incorrect? Is that at least there's a system in play and people are used to it. The problem here is when there's no water and there's no grey water and there's no... You know, you can't drink water. I mean, if you wake up in the night, there's nothing coming out. You've got to drink pool water.
Yeah, but it's good practice still. It makes you conscious of the fact. It's like fasting. You know, if you fast something, it makes you aware of why you're fasting.
I don't care. Take away my car. Take away electricity. Take away cell phone signals. But you can't take away water. It is really... It's actually not a joke. It's not funny. The water stores, the garages have got no water left. There is... you know, my family run a Res Cafe, the Lebanese restaurant. Do you know what it's like to run a restaurant with no water?
Is water a key ingredient in hummus?
You know, you need water for the toilets and to wash the floor and the dishes. Somebody said to me that Jane was saying, she was in the taxi on the way to Cliff Central this morning, and a lady who is a domestic worker, employer phoned and said, please don't come to work because there's nothing. What are you going to do? And more importantly, you might need the toilet, but there's no toilet. The toilet is the problem. I'm telling you, I'm so constipated. I'm eating little meals. I'm eating teeny. I've lost so much weight. It's a good thing. So now I will be the thin. The thin, I don't know, the rich one will work that out all. But it's good to be with you. Please smile, Johannesburg. I know that if you've been on Twitter, I've been following the Johannesburg Water Board, and Rand Water and Joburg Water, just every... I don't stop, you know. I just wish they'd tell us the truth, because they said it'll be on yesterday, by 4 o'clock, and there's nothing this morning.
Sure.
So I went to wash in the pool, but the thing is that everyone's washing in the pool, so I don't want to be... I don't know. I keep one thing in mind, and it's this. Queen Elizabeth I, for example, and a lot of the kings and queens of England, because it was cold, stayed in the regalia, and they didn't bath for months.
Sure.
So but wow. At least there was water to drink.
That's why that material was so thick, to keep the smell in.
Well, we've got a great, jam-packed, wonderful show lined up for you today. Rock of Ages has come to Johannesburg. It's come to South Africa, and I think it is... It's an incredible show. Firstly, 5 Tony Award nominations. The Broadway production ran for 2,328 performances. There's been a Hollywood film adaptation in 2012. The production toured 6 of 7 continents, and South Africa's the 17th production to be staged worldwide. So when you think Rock of Ages, it's and I don't mean to offend, because I'll tell you, I guess, so in a moment, but it's not Barnyard Theatre. No disrespect to Barnyard Theatre, but it's not. Because some people think it's that. They think we're going to go and see... It is a first-class Broadway production. So let me just put that out there. And our very special guests in studio are Craig O'Barney, who we'll chat to you in a moment, and Natasha van der Merwe, two great actors and actresses and producers, and they've been involved in everything. We'll also chat to Melanie Burke, chairman of the Fleur de Cup, but it's not about the Fleur de Cup, it's another project she has called Street Smart. It's about putting R5 on your restaurant bill, and that goes to street kids and educating them. And then we'll talk to Anel de Greef about the Eat Out Awards, the top restaurants in South Africa. Luke Dale Roberts won, let me say this, again.
Wow.
It's a meal, it's becoming too meal streepy. It's enough.
Because they did really. the smaller restaurants a while back.
Yeah,
now it's a big one.
I just, you can't keep winning the same guy. And I'm not being funny, it's the same judges and the same guy. That's not right. I don't know. His food's good, but there's a lot of other. I just don't agree with it. But we'll ask another about the editing chief.
Are you of the
of
the thought that everyone should get a turn?
No, not at all. But I do think that people keep getting overlooked, and the same person keeps winning, and then you've got to go, okay, well, who's your panel, and why is it like that? I think that has to be addressed.
Right.
And I don't think it's fair. You know, it's like it's different award ceremonies when the same people just keep on winning. I get a bit.
How many times has he won before?
I think this is like it's brilliant. It really is good. But the thing is that then you've got to shape up the judges. You've got to have a whole new set of judges every year, because then it makes it fair. That's what I think. If you've got the same judges, then the same person that's ever will win certain awards. It's just whatever. But we're here to have fun, and of course it's good to be with you, my Nate.
Yes.
Good to be with you. In studio, Craig Abani, Natasha van der Walt, Rock of Ages.
Van der Walt?
I mean, Van der Merwe. Sorry, it's a Funder, something. Welcome to the show, guys.
Thanks.
So good to have you in studio.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Yeah.
Craig Abani. I mean, this is like he smiles. Just that smile.
I know. That's what gets all the ladies.
And gets some of the men as well. You know, if he was interested in them. But yeah. It's just those dimples. Craig just goes. Craig, I remember one of the first times I ever interviewed you, which was quite a while ago. It was still at 702, and you were doing Buddy Holly.
Right.
On the West End.
Okay.
And you had won, was it the Olivier? But what award did you won a top international award.
I was nominated for a Laurence Olivier Award, but that wasn't for Buddy. That was for a thing called Contact with Susan Stroman, which I did later in 2001.
See, he even had Contact with Susan Stroman.
Yeah.
But here's the
bit of a name
thing.
Drop.
Okay, name drop everybody.
But yeah.
Things that's when I remember this legend, Craig Abani, was sitting on the West End and South Africa was raving about it. And then you came back home.
Yeah.
Why did you come back?
It was a move of the heart. I just kind of found myself after going on to 11 years being in London and performing there, and it was amazing. I mean, I did some incredible stuff. I did some rubbish, but I worked.
Yes.
And I met famous people and met the Queen and did some Royal Variety.
Yes, you did that.
Yeah, I did that
really
stuff.
Did
and
that
then
stuff.
I just wanted to come back because I just wanted to be home, and the plan was to come back and marry a nice South African girl and have a family, and none of that happened.
I was going to ask
Oops.
You.
Yeah, I've got a wonderful daughter. That's
it's called the South African dream. not as well done as the American one.
It's not quite what. But I mean, I got close, and child wise,
I
fulfilled it. Yes,
that we.
You worry me. You get a look on your face.
Craig was upstairs doing Thoroughly Modern Millie. We were downstairs doing The Disaster. Seriously.
But it made money.
Did make money.
Did you make money?
Jealous.
Oh, good.
Money,
oh, good.
That's actually the contract I met Craig on.
What, Thoroughly?
Yeah.
Were you upstairs?
No, I was in the building watching the show.
I was about to say, were you in that show? Why don't I remember you? You're not the kind of girl that I would forget.
Oh, Craig.
You're not the kind of girl I would forget. Natasha van der
Walt. But here's the cool thing is that when I met you at that stage, your daughter was about to be born.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, so you were dealing with a pregnant. You were working that, and interesting talking about kids. And let's talk about this. At the same time, somebody said that you were fathered.
Yes.
It was like almost a Steve Hoffmeyer situation.
It was a little bit sort of Steve Hoffmeyer. What happened was I had. Frolicked, obviously, with another lady, and I think she looked at the man who was the father, and she looked at me and thought, I'm gonna have to go with this other guy, this actor guy, because he looks like he might have R5 more than the other dude, so I'm gonna make him dad, and so I did the whole thing. I went to the hospital and we did the scans and I was there for the birth, and I changed a nappy or two, and her grand parents said, oh, he looks just like you. And I said, I just want to have a little test, if that's okay with everyone.
I'll never forget.
If we can just do that.
Because at that stage, we would sit afterwards, and I sat next to Craig. That's when I remember the story, and you were like, dude, I've got a baby on the way and there's one that I didn't know about and it's all happening at the same time. And you, I think you've just come back to South Africa. Or you've been here.
I've been here shortly. Yeah, about a year.
Yeah, and this had all happened. Yeah.
That was when I met you. That exact day you found out it wasn't yours.
That's
really?
And so I have a daughter.
In the newspaper, yeah.
Because
yeah.
We have news for you, Craig.
Yeah, whatever.
It turns out Miss Van der Merwe is your daughter.
Oh, no, you've just shattered his dreams.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't think it would stop him.
So the what? But a beautiful daughter that, is child. Yours.
I have a wonderful daughter.
Born in February, yeah. And she turns, which is...
She's going to be 11.
Yeah, 11 years old.
On the 9th, yeah.
Mm. And I remember, because it's all happening...
It was happening during the run of 30 Modern Millie. And a fantastic success downstairs called... what is it called?
Debbie Does Dallas.
Debbie Does Dallas, right. Yeah.
I never touched more boobs and saw more nakedness in my whole life, seriously.
And I saw none of that. Well, I was having children.
I'm sure you've seen
it 9 months prior.
I was about to say, yeah.
But there is an interesting thing, and I always say it. When you're on that stage, and you need to get out, it doesn't matter if there's a boob there or if there's no clothes, because you just got to get back on stage. So there is one thing, you're so focused, you're not even looking at that. I'm not looking at Natasha going, nice set of knockers.
But then again, you are also...
No, but I wouldn't look at Craig, because you're so busy, you don't have time to think about it. What's your next cue, what's your next song?
What if you're not that busy?
Like Craig Avon.
Hey, I work very hard.
Craig needs more monologues.
Yeah. All right, so Craig, Buddy Holly, great production. How many performances did you perform? I think it's
Buddy's incredible. Buddy was one of those things. I came out of the Rocky Horror Show and I went to an audition, and I remember because I'd gone for Curly in Oklahoma and I didn't get it because Graham Scott said to me, Johnny, your voice isn't ready, and I was devastated because I wanted to be in a proper musical, and I remember I was broken, and my agent phoned me and said, Craig, they cast me for this rock and roll show, Buddy. Can you play the guitar? I said, not really, but I play drums more, but I'll go. So I went in there with bleached white hair, and I sang Oh Boy, That'll Be the Day, and I kind of accompanied myself a little bit on the guitar. And so began this thing. You know, Pierre van Pletzen said, I want this guy. I want this guy. And so the next thing I knew, I was cast, but there were two of us. And Terence Reyes was the other one. He plays guitar like an absolute demon. He is currently Mark Knopfler in Dire Straits. Like, he plays with Dire Straits.
Yeah, well.
So, and I was trying to learn A, D, and E on the guitar. And so
This is not
rocket science on the git. Rock and roll science. Yeah. But I got it, and then I did it here, and it was a great success. And then the producers came over and said, we want you to come to England, and I did. I did it in London, did the cast recording, opened a new theatre with it there. So I did 2 years in South Africa. I did a year there, then I did Fame, then I went back, did another year. Mm. Then I did it in short stints in Denmark, Singapore, Australia. I've done it everywhere.
But it's the lead on the West End.
Yeah, I was
that's the key.
Yes, that because was the thing.
That's the key.
Yeah.
The key is that is the dream, to be on the lead on Broadway.
A lead on the West End, yeah.
So, but you know, we do this to everybody as the morning begins.
Yeah, usually it's 17 minutes past 9. It's now 16.
So, yeah. And Pep goes, la, 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 la.
Oh, are we going to sing?
Are you going to sing?
Okay.
All right, so well, let's just prep. Ladies and gentlemen, Craig Bonnie. Let's just get this going. Well, I'm gonna tell you how it's gonna be. Oh, whether you're gonna give it, you a love to me. And I'm gonna love you night and day. Oh, but you know my love and I fade away. Oh, when you know my love and I fade away. Hey. Oh, well, my love is bigger than the Cadillac. Oh, I would like to run a show it, but you drive me back. Your love for me has got to be real. Before you will know what you how I feel.
Is that enough?
That is so cool.
Love,
go, 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 go.
No, one more. I will love for me. Oh, here we go. and Faith. Nathan Roach.
But you know what I do love? I love the fact, because a lot of people, if you have everybody coming into studio and they sing, okay, yeah. And then people think, gee, is that's not the real guy singing in studio. That is Craig O'Barney.
Oh, yeah.
But I think that time they could tell.
No, I'll tell you.
Yep, that's an early Craig O'Barney. He's trying to get
you. You know the first time I met Craig?
Wrong and Strong.
Tell me.
It was on Essie Dingo.
Yes.
Yes, and they everyone was abuzz. The makeup room was abuzz with the fact that Craig O'Barney was coming in, and I thought they were just asking each other's name in Zulu.
Craig O'Barney Gamalako.
Craig O'Barney Lako. And then they just kept saying Craig. So I was like, oh, okay.
You had exciting. Nathan had that sort of, he had these sort of locks. You had this long, thick blonde.
Yeah, thinned out a bit since then. But
no, it still looks good. I remember you had this mane of blonde hair.
Well, a mane.
It was, yeah.
And Issa Dingo, again, TV, theatre, Craig, and we're going to come to you in a second, Natasha, but TV, theatre, what do you love? I mean, you're in a current commercial I see all the time. I don't know what you've been in a lot of commercials.
I've been in some commercials. Yeah, they're such a bonus when they come along, you know, because it's nice money and you go in and you do it. But I'm currently playing Damon Bradbury on Scandal, which I'm loving.
Mm-hmm.
It's
yes,
great character. I'm the brother, to Natasha Sutherland's character Layla.
Mm.
So it's nice. I'm linked to sort of main key players there, and I've had the pleasure of working with the wonderful character Yvonne Khumotso, who's very popular. But I did Issa Dingo then. I did a few things on Binland, The Wild,
Ashes to Ashes,
which was wonderful. I loved that. It's a Clive Morris production. Shot, yeah. I really enjoyed that. And I think I got Scandal on the back of that. Because then I also kind of sorted myself out. I stopped drinking. I stopped being fat and disgusting. And I kind of got my life together. And so I started to look a little better, albeit a bit older. But, so I kind of started looking and living healthy and getting benefits as a result of that with some TV work.
3 decades in the business.
Apparently, geez, yeah. Like, I know.
Time flies.
It's scary, yeah.
Time flies.
No, but I mean, I'm 47 next month.
And now he's rocking.
And now I'm
the ages.
And now he's rocking.
I'm rocking through the ages, yeah.
With his six pack and some angel wings.
Which is, come on, man. I'm gymming. I'm sober. I'm gymming. I'm. Come on, I'm happening.
Did you Did you have a drinking problem?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah,
tell me about that.
No, well, I mean, it was just something that, as it does, escalates and develops and progresses, and I found myself in trouble. I was unhealthy. I was yellow. I was fat. I was starting to have consequences professionally, and doctors called me in and said, Craig, you drink too much, and if you carry on drinking, you're basically gonna die. Mm. And then I sort of went into a program to not drink, which I don't do anymore. And
you don't touch it. You completely
No, I don't touch alcohol.
Okay.
Because I can't. I reached that point where alcohol, if I have one, you won't see me for 6 weeks because Craig's got to go back to square one, start again.
Really, huh?
Yeah, and it's been an incredible journey of 4 years where as you embark on the spiritual program, this 12-step program, you realize how much it was affecting your life before, and you would not have become aware of that had it not got so bad. Okay. If that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So I'm extremely grateful and very happy. And it says in the program, you'll get gifts of recovery and promises will come true and things will come to you if you stick by this. And it's true. And I've never been happier and healthier. And I'm a better person for it. I'm a better dad for it, which is vital. I have an incredible relationship with my daughter, who is my life. And professionally, I mean, I get a lot of gifts. Like, I wouldn't be in these kind of shows like Rock of Ages. I wouldn't be on Scandal. I wouldn't have the success that I have if I wasn't sober.
And you both can, we all can actually comment on this. The business lends itself to drink.
But people say that. You see, yeah. I believe this, and they say this in meetings, that lawyers will say, oh, the legal profession lends itself to drink and drugs. And nurses will say, oh, in the nursing, if you have that kind of, if you have a propensity for that or a predisposition to that, you will find people that do that in any profession. Yes, I agree with you. Our hours are different. It's late night. Mm. Sometimes in the world of entertainment, the line between work and play gets a little bit blurred because your work does have a sense of play. It's acting, it's singing, it's chicks half naked backstage, it's running around at 11 o'clock at night, 12 o'clock, 2, 3 in the morning, and you don't have to get up early the next day. So it does kind of, it gets blurred.
Mm.
But I do believe if I had become an accountant, I would still be sitting here now saying to you, listen, I had to stop drinking because it got out of hand. That's what I firmly believe.
All right.
Yeah. I don't know.
I must say I agree with that because I know a lot of people that are very successful in the industry that work flippin' long hours and we are, I mean, on the go 24/7.
And they're healthy. I mean, you've got to be healthy.
Yeah, you've got to look after yourself. You've got to look after your voice. You've got to look after
your body.
You know, everything just so that you can actually get, and you want to be sustainable in a run. You don't want to be...
And sustainable in a career. I mean,
that's 2 years.
You know, you start losing your the sell by date creeps up on you in this industry, and the next thing you kind of being sent for. I mean, I now get sent for the dad of the roles that that I thought I was, you know, still going to be up for. Like, you know, they're like, family, say, Craig, we need you for Saturday Night Fever. I'm like, oh, I think I'm a bit old for Tony. They're like, no, we know that. We want you for Frank. He's dad.
Yeah. Also, right, it's the commercials I've shot. I've now done 3, and I'm the mother.
But you're the hot mother.
Thanks, Craig.
Natasha, fun to have. You've entered this business. How long have you been doing it now?
Sure. I have been in the industry now for 10 years. Mm. And, yeah, I trained at the Waterfront Theatre College.
Yes.
Did a majored in dance, drama, and musical theatre. And then I embarked on a journey and did a couple of stints overseas, singing in Qatar, Abu Dhabi, Dubai. Mm-hmm. And then I came back and I actually started in 2010 with Mamma Mia.
Yes, well, Mamma Mia, we had a couple of pantos.
Yes.
We had Saturday Night Fever.
Yes.
We had Sister Act.
That's it.
Okay, and the list goes on.
Oh, thank you.
But again, incredible to come back from overseas and hit Mamma Mia.
Yes, I think it was actually interesting.
Because it was an interesting production, Mamma Mia, by the way, because it was in the dome. Was it?
Oh, no, I did the one, the full all Teatro, South African cast at Teatro.
At the Teatro, okay.
Yes, yes. Right. So that was 2010. I think the one at the Dome was just before that.
Okay.
But yeah, I was quite a fresh start at the time. So I literally graduated 2007, was overseas 2008, came back 2009, and started with Mamma Mia World Cup 2010 time. And then, yeah, I kind of just took it from there. And have done many a corporate. Actually, Craig and I met on a corporate at Sandton Convention Centre.
I love how the way we met. Was there a vibe ever?
Did you see how she...
Have you had a kiss?
Did you see how she...
No, this one never.
Lovely. This one never.
You don't have any children, do you?
No, not married or no.
See, I was just thinking about you talking about your ads where you play a mom. I'm like, yes, all the moms at home are going like, why don't I look like that? I've had 3 kids as well, you know.
And yeah, she's fake.
Yeah, it's quite mean of you, actually.
I'm so sorry about that. I would like to hope that one day when I have had children of my own, I still look like this. Maybe just a few extra wrinkles. But, no. So, yeah, well, we met then, but obviously paths have crossed since then. And, yeah, now it's only our 3rd show together.
And we did a short stint at the Rockwood Theatre.
Oh my goodness!
Yes, Andrew Webster.
Andrew Webster's new thing, which I'm very excited about. I think it's fantastic. Yes. Opening one in Sabaya now,
which I love.
Which is fantastic in Durban, in Sabaya.
How and short was the stint?
Very, very short.
It's so short, it was a whole 48 hours.
Yeah, I know. We dipped.
But both of us, so the two leads that were in the show, they unfortunately couldn't be there that night. So myself and Craig stepped in. But they, in real life, they're actually husband and wife. And so a lot of the links in the show was written around them. So we just had to change things up a little bit and just go with the flow. But
Andrew Webbs is in our show as well.
I know.
Rock of Ages.
Yes. I know that.
He's playing Stacey Jacks, the legend, the rock legend. Yes. And he's doing a great job.
He goes to my gym, and I must say, his six-pack is pretty awesome as well.
I mean, he's kept himself in great shape.
He really has.
At his birthday the other day, he turned 44.
Yeah.
Yeah, he looks good. 23.
He looks great.
Yeah. He's got 2 children.
Yeah.
Yes, twins.
He should play mothers in ads.
Absolutely, yes.
Now, Natasha, of course, you play Regina, the hippie in this.
I'm sorry. It's pronounced Regina.
Regina.
It's a line from the show. Okay. Yeah. She's giving you a line from the show.
It's Regina.
Regina.
Yes.
Okay. Regina with the... Let's okay. Move on. Can't even. Yeah.
Raj.
And so, sure. Have we prepped something for Natasha to sing?
We can find something.
So Natasha, you're gonna get those vocals ready, babe.
So basically, Regina.
No,
is
you don't have to sing from something from there specifically. Would you?
Oh.
I want to hear about Regina.
Okay, have you got something for me?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, let's hear
about Regina.
What are you making me sing there?
I don't know, let's hear the intro. See what happens.
We built this city. We built this city.
Let's rock it, people.
Second instrumental.
In studio,
now
Craig,
it's only down to nine.
And Natasha Funamama.
Me.
Come on. Oh, is this the karaoke
recognize
version?
Recognize my face.
Yeah, he has to sing those lines.
Say you don't have to go.
I don't know this.
Just that kind of place.
Knee deep in the hoopla.
Go, Tash.
Sinking in your face. It's 9 o'clock in the morning.
Too many runaways heating up this night.
Sing a harmony. Sing a harmony.
Listen to the radio.
Everybody.
Don't you remember? We built this city. We built this city on rock and roll.
We built this city.
Ow! My rock scream.
We built this city.
Built the city on bad pops.
You're not gonna get away with this.
You know, Tasha's doing the whole scene for you now, from the whole excerpt from the show.
Well, you know, I have to fill in for about 12 people there, and you sing the three lines.
So, good ensemble. Do people is it for people that love the rock genre, or is it everyone that just loves good music? Tell me about. I haven't seen it, unfortunately. I've been big to. I've just been out of town and it's been crazy, but I am going to see it. But
we have water in our theatre.
Yes,
you want to come there? I don't know if that will help
to
get
you
there.
Yes.
I've got a dressing room with a shower.
Really?
Yeah.
That's why I would offer mine as well, but I just don't have it to be your cup of tea.
I would do anything, and I would do anything for a shower.
Yes.
Actually, I would do anything for a shower. Maybe I won't do that, but yeah, that's...
You won't do
but
that.
But I won't do that.
Look, it's not rock, it's pop rock. Mm. It's kind of the pop rock anthems of the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's interwoven by a very fun, very loose, very frivolous love story and a humorous poke at that... At that period, at the 80s on the LA Strip, and it doesn't take itself too seriously. So if people come with that kind of expectation that you're going to hear the kind of pop rock anthems that you would turn up in your car if you were driving, mm. all of them, you would just go, oh, I love this song, and you'd turn it up. Sung well with a killer band and killer sound
and killer cast.
Then that's what you get, and we have an incredible bunch of people. And I can't say this enough, but you know the principles. We get all the limelight, but this we have it's a small cast, and we have an ensemble who I want to tell you work their butts off, yeah. And they don't whinge, they don't moan, they strap it up, they put it on, they run, they change, they do, they dance, they sing, full out, full tilt, and they get on with it, and they are the backbone and the core of this musical, which is this stuff is not easy to do. You know, we've got Josh Ansley. Who's singing the lead role because he can. He's got that ridiculously high voice like Steve Perry from Journey. He's got to sing Journey. Nathan, you're a singer. You guys know music. You know.
I know that that's the song they play when they want you to leave the club.
Leave the club. Yeah. Yeah. Yes. You know, it's and he can sing it. This boy can sing it. He's a natural actor. Eh?
Yeah.
Claire Taylor is playing our leading lady. She is. She's got pipes. She's got pipes.
Yeah, they're both beautiful. And I think also when we talk about everyone can relate to the songs. Everybody can. You'll sit in the theatre and be like, oh my gosh. Yes, this song.
Escapist
and
fun.
And it's literally 2 hours of great fun where you can just escape. And it's also funny because like Craig mentioned, we take the Mickey out of the sort of that era and the story itself, which is where Zach Hendricks, for example, also plays the narrator. And
also he's come through the ranks very quickly.
He's
fantastic.
And he breaks the fourth wall, which is quite funny. There's one or two characters that we get to break the fourth wall, which is it's lacquer, and I think people don't necessarily always expect that, but it's good.
But he literally talks to the character and says, listen, I'm talking to you about this musical that you're in, Rock of Ages.
Yeah.
He says that to the character on the stage. You know, it's that much of a sort of break tradition to that degree. And if the audience, and I urge you to do this, to just go with it, you'll have a lot of fun. Lot of fun.
It's good to see, and I'd like to use this year as an example to what I've seen happen in theatre. Priscilla, Queen of the Desert, mm. West Side Story, mm. Pantomime from Durban, Pantomime from Johannesburg, okay, which Zach was in the one, for example.
Yes,
okay, you've done quite a few pantos.
And now the Afrikaans ones as well.
Now we've got the Afrikaans pantos. We've got Rock of Ages. We've got Evita. We've got, hold on, I've left out quite a few.
King Kong.
We've got Colour Purple starting,
yes.
And then that's not even going with the funny girl.
No, sure.
And some of the Cape Town productions.
Yeah.
Joseph, which still broke into the show. Booming business. Meaning jobs.
Yes.
Isn't that good to see? Because coming back to... Did you play Grease ever on the stage? In the dome?
We did the Stadium Grease.
Remember the Stadium Grease?
Yes, okay. Stadium Grease. Yes.
At one point in time... We could only afford to... Well, the way they were doing it was they were doing the Mamma Mia at the whole convention for like 10,000 people, or the Stadium Grease.
Stadium Grease, okay. Yeah.
Which I remember that, actually.
Yes,
I remember you being in
2001 or something, yeah.
It's crazy, actually, if you think about it.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden, theatres are filling up, jobs are being provided, sponsors are to some extent coming on board. You guys, for example, at Gold Reef City... Tokosan, great. Thank you.
Wonderful of them.
Aren't they great?
Fantastic.
Because hopping on board and really going the extra mile.
It's sad to say, but back in the day, you used to pray that Sun International would get a job at the Extravaganza.
Absolutely.
Do you know what I'm
saying? Because you're guaranteed
you had something then. Yeah. Okay, and then we were lucky that we had the Joburg Theatre, and then we had the Baxter in Cape Town. That's what you had.
Yeah.
Now all of a sudden, you've got 1,000, 2,000 seaters. Full of people having fun and people that are helping this business.
Absolutely.
Isn't it great to see?
Yeah. And that's what's so great about a young producer like Jaco van Rensburg now. Jaco's been in the business a long time.
He
knows what he's doing. It's called VR Theatrical. He's a young producer now. Competition is always good. So obviously we have Joburg Theatre, we have Peter Turin, we have these people who have dominated the industry, and to have young producers like Jaco van Rensburg, VR Theatrical, coming up and teaming up with Tsochosan and creating shows. I mean, this is like his fourth.
Yeah, I mean, and he did Love You Perfect, well, Change. Yeah, that was fantastic. Hedwig and the Angry Inch, which won both Fleur de Cats for leads.
Yeah.
Does Jaco produce it?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's wonderful. He's going to be part of the future of this industry that you're talking about, which is now booming and going so well. He's going to be a part of it.
Brendan van Rijn's doing the same thing.
Brilliant.
Yes,
69.
That's
wonderful.
All right.
Great. And then you've got David Bloch now bringing some of his stuff in.
These people are changing
a little bit of the business. And I'm hinting to myself, Ellen, get involved, because my dream is to bring Wicked here. My dream is because I think... It's so different being a producer. Producing is hard.
Yeah.
No, believe me.
It's a whole nother stream. It's a whole nother level. At the end of the day, there's no money in the account. No one gets paid. You're gone. Mm. Okay, that's how simple it works. But that's why I've got to take my hats off to these producers, because you need to have balls.
Absolutely.
It's not an easy game. Very scary and very risky. A guy we had on the show a couple of weeks ago, Joshua Ackerman. Alan's been talking about these big theatre shows that have been going on. This guy has just decided to run with his own thing, immersive theatre, where he's rented a castle in Cape Town, and they're going to do this immersive theatre production called Immortal there, and it runs for a good month, I think, from the 13th of December, I think, in Cape Town at the Cape of Good Hope Castle.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean, that is a huge risk. He's trying something.
It's great that the industry is
opening to those people, those entrepreneurs. You know?
Well, yeah. It tells you that people are shifting and going, we don't have to tune into Issa Dingo at 6:30. We can now Netflix it.
To Craig or Nathan.
You know what? Let me say one thing.
That changes it.
On this as well. You know that Calling Me Home musical?
Yes.
Local musical,
absolutely.
Local people.
That's another one.
And it got a lot of flack. But you know what people forget?
I said the same thing.
Yeah.
When Les Mis opened, okay, the biggest musical of all time. Mm. When Les Mis opened in London, it opened, then it was taken off, reworked, rewritten, doctored, changed. Then it was back on. Then numbers were pulled. Then that cast were called in and out. Things don't just happen. Success doesn't just happen. Mm. So these people, like, I don't know who they are, but the ones that are calling me home, and I believe they got a lot of flack. They went out on a limb.
They tried something new. I applaud them. I take my hat off to
Absolutely.
Them. And I hope that Calling Me Home has life. And I hope it has a future. And I hope it's doctored, reworked, improved, because there's something there. And I say well
I'm
done.
I'm so happy because we left that out of the musical discussion.
Yes,
but,
yes.
But I do want to just add to what you said.
What do you think?
This is what I do think. I think, yes, brilliant. And I said it at the time that they took that risk and they took that chance and they got that money from Sony and they did what they could do with it. And I applaud them. Two ladies did that, by the way. They wrote the score. I'm not saying that, but it's just an incredible thing. Okay. But the only thing that I get slightly concerned about, and something that I'd love you to think about, is that be careful not to discount the South African audience and use us as your workshop.
Yes.
Workshopping. Just hear me what I'm saying. Because especially when you're coming out of a year that has got Evita, Joseph, West Side Story, and they were all on point.
Yeah.
Funny Girl. Yeah. Rock of Ages, Funny Girl. You've got
King Kong.
You've got
Santos.
And Priscilla, Queen of the Desert, which knocked it out the park.
Wonderful production.
So when that came along, it just was like,
come on, guys. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Because it was in, I think, the wrong. Particularly in the middle of so many great things, so people gave it a lot.
And I believe, and I believe, if you got those two ladies and sat them down, they would agree with us, and they'd say, "Look, we tried, we fell short here, 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 and here." But that doesn't mean they failed, and that doesn't mean they give up.
100%.
And I hope they don't. I hope that they rework, doctor, and improve.
You're correct. But when somebody said to me the following, and I said the same thing. When somebody said to me that they're workshopping it in South Africa to take it to London, I say, go workshop it somewhere else on the off. You don't discount your audience.
Yes,
that's
right.
That's all I'm saying. So I think
so. Don't use us as a kind of guinea pig audience kind of thing.
And please don't. I hate the fact that South Africa is sometimes
actually very judgmental.
We
know stuff.
We do know our thing. We know our we're not stupid.
That's fair comment.
So my thinking is that go to a small theatre, do it small, workshop it. I get it. It wasn't bad. It just was long. Very, very, very long.
It needed
work.
Yeah.
But the thing is, you've got to be careful when you're saying South Africa's like big show, because people are going, it's going to be like The Lion King or like King Kong was
going to be our Ipitombi.
It's going to be Ipitombi, and you walked in there. So, but don't discount putting your neck on the line.
Yeah, the risk and the guts and the. But I hear what you're saying.
I like what Craig said about they haven't actually failed, because I mean you only fail when you don't get up and try something else.
No,
try it again, rework, try to fix it.
Yeah. And they are going ahead and reworking and making sure that they can get a better production going.
And they have our support.
And I'm the first person that has been involved in a production that was a flop. Okay, that needed so much work that you can't even begin to. Debbie Does Dallas was dreadful. Okay, and I've had a few TV shows that have flopped. So, but you got to be careful, just not to discount your audience. That's all I'm saying.
Absolutely, I hear you.
You know, don't just people just got to be careful. That's my thing. You got to, and I see a lot with some of the stuff on the SABC. We think that the audience on SABC One don't know, but all of a sudden you're giving them rubbish and cha-cha-cha and all these horrible shots and you're filming, and I just think to myself,
don't insult them. Yeah, absolutely.
Going back to what Craig said earlier, I think as well, like, we're living in a time where, you know, people can choose what they want to watch. You know, you've got downloading things, you've got Netflix, you can choose what you want. So gone are the days where you have to sit in front of a TV and are forced to watch whatever they're showing you. Yeah. So I think that's going to really like push the bar in production. And I've already seen productions go up in production value, you know, since then, because people are realizing, flip, we can't just, you know, put a puppet against a painted background and, you know,
I applaud places like the Barnyards for cultivating the talent and putting on the shows, and I think they still go. I don't know. I haven't been.
They're still doing their thing.
Mm. But can I tell you something? There is an audience now that is becoming very theatrically educated, because they're going off and they're seeing these productions, and so now you've got to up the game.
Yeah,
that's all that people, you know, gone are the days where, just for TV, for example, your TV's got to be HD quality, it's got to be able to syndicate all over the world, it's got to have all those things.
Yeah, I think
so you can't, so no more can we just have some guy that's missing a note here and there, because those days I think are kind of might be gone.
Yeah.
I think someone asked me the other day, can you put on a musical with a South African cast? Is it the same standard you would get on Broadway? And I just said, I think at the end of the day, we've got to remember that a lot of the musicals that come out here are either a blueprint musical or we've been given the rights to do them. Mm. Either way, we have to be of an international standard to put them on. So whether you're getting an all South African cast, which is actually a bonus and fantastic because it's giving us work, it's giving us an opportunity to show our talents, but it's got to be of international standard. So I think a lot of the time people go, oh, we're going to go and see Evita or whatever the musical is, Joseph or whatever. They often go, oh, I didn't realize it was an all South African cast. But I think it's something that we can be quite proud of, that we do put on work of international standard.
Well, you can, and this I can assure you, I saw Priscilla in London twice. I thought it was better here.
Yes, absolutely. I saw it in Australia, where it's from, I thought our cast was, I thought our production was fantastic,
and I thought Jersey Boys was the best in the world, and
Jersey Boys was
over.
Magnificent. Yes. And Yaku, I saw Yaku in there actually. Our producer was in there. I saw him playing Frankie Valli.
In the studio, Craig Obani and Natasha van der Merwe from the rock musical Rock of Ages, happening at Gold Reef City. Again, an incredible year it's been for restaurants and for food. On the line, Abigail Donnelly, who is the editor of ETAP magazine. Abigail, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Abigail, what a year of great food. And as we were chatting about great theatre and what's happened in South Africa just this past year, people are upping their games in the food industry year on year.
Yeah, it was the most exciting year. Also obviously the restaurants are up in their game and they're really, really gunning for it. But also we had so many new contenders this year. You know, new restaurants that opened last year in November that we were able to judge, which was really exciting, new different restaurants and platforms. And of course the new formula of it as well.
Abigail, there's a question or something, a point that was raised, actually it was raised last night when we were at a Discovery dinner. I wanted to address it because let's just get it out there. Somebody said it seems like the Meryl Streep, the same people are nominated and are winning most of the time. How is the judging process? Is it different or is it the same? Can you comment on that?
We have different judges. Mm-hmm. This obviously last judging season, we won't announce the judges. So there will be hopefully a more consistency coming through. But we've always had different judges with different voices, with different criteria of how they... I mean, obviously, we have a straight standard criteria of judging the restaurants on the scorecard. But, you know, everybody brings their own unique knowledge, you know, and understanding of what's delivered on the plate. So, yes, we have the same, but they are in different orders. And this year we announced the 30 nominees, although we judged more than 30 restaurants. And then we have the 20, and then we have the top 10, allowing for these restaurants to have a platform and to be celebrated, which they really deserve to. But yes, you know, an example, Test Kitchen again, six-year running.
Six-year.
The sixth time, you know, but, you know, and it just, you know, there were new judges. So it just really shows that he's at the top of his game, and he's pushing the entire time. Now he's done the light in the dark room, you know, and it flows and it means something and it's a sense of place and a reason and a vision.
And I'm happy that you have now clarified that because now people can't, because it happened years ago. You remember when Jardines was winning all the time?
Yes, exactly.
It did happen. So, I wanted to clear it up because I have worked with you on the project before. I've judged. Been one of your writers in the magazine in the past.
Yes, you were a reviewer.
So yes. I've been a part of the process. So I just wanted that clarified because, again, I'm happy you say that. It's a new set of judges and the same guy won. But that's, you can't, if you're that good, you're that good.
I mean, it's the same in, you know, sports and all kinds, you know, theater, all kinds of things. You know, the best is the best and they will be rewarded. You know, and that's the outcome. That's the scorecard.
A couple of interesting new names. Well, not new, but people that kind of came shining through. It was nice to see that the restaurant at Waterkloof. That's
Chef
great.
Of the year last year.
Yeah, correct. And again, shining through.
And he was
through.
Number three again.
Tali, tell me about Tali.
Okay, Tali is one of Liam won Chef of the Year this year. Very well served. I mean, yeah, you know, people say, "Why Chef of the Year?" You know, but he really does. He mentors. He allows all these young up and coming chefs to shine and to have an opportunity to run his kitchen. And he is the biggest mentor, I think, out there. Yeah, and so Carly is, John is the chef there. John used to be the chef at Chef Warehouse, his first restaurant. And yeah, he's just incredible. Have you been?
I haven't, no, but I look forward to it because I think people, it's so great that if people are foodies, like they're theatre people or they're you know, some people go and watch, you know, go and see, love the theatre. I love food and I love the theatre. But here's the thing, is that I love to tick it off. So I've been to John D. If I look at your top 10, it's incredible. I've been to all these restaurants, except for the one, which is the restaurant in Waterclay. I think I've got to go to.
Yeah, you must go there.
But and I'm so impressed that your book is, or your magazine is, a reference point for this.
Yeah, and you know, Charlie is tapas. It's exciting. It's unique. It's different because it's spicy, beautiful food, but it's so balanced, and the decor is so beautiful. And you sit outside in the courtyard on a beautiful day, or even a beautiful balmy evening, you feel like you're in Mumbai, and it's just exciting food.
My question to you, Abigail, is what more should be done for foodies or for restaurants to make it to these lists, to improve their quality? What do you think is that X factor that they perhaps need or should be looking for?
Just, you know, I mean to have a very full restaurant is amazing. But as much as it is to win awards, is amazing for your teams, for your market, your PR. But it really is about not only consistency, but it's about pushing the boundaries. It's about using the most amazing ingredients. And I really do believe it's having a vision of what you want to do and being unique and being yourself. And, not mimicking anything or, you know, it's just, I really do believe that. It's just pushing the boundaries. And when I say pushing the boundaries, it's use creativity, but also in some very simple ways. Some of my best meals in 2017 was very simple, where it was just the hero was, you know, the one ingredient was the hero, and not hidden behind, you know, sauces. I mean, I love sauces, but, you know, it's just about taking an ingredient and making it perfection on the plate.
Abigail Donnelly, go and get the magazine. When does it come out? Is it out?
It's out.
Of course, it's how you launch it, and obviously
the website,
which is great, and you have the interactive space, which I love, and I love that you had the newcomer awards. Thank you for joining us on the line, and of course, Eat Out goes on from year to year, it's talking about good food, and it's independent. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Alan. Bye.
Abigail Donnelly, the editor of Eat Out magazine. Do you guys like to eat out?
Gotta stay. Love eating out.
Even though Shane acted kind of.
Are you talking to us again?
Yes. I just champagne taste and beer money, but.
Champagne. Really, babe?
You shouldn't mix your drinks.
No, I definitely don't.
Well, the best thing is you can eat more wonderful food now because you're not drinking.
I don't drink.
He
I don't
just,
drink anymore.
Just so spend his money on.
But I'm boring. I'm a boring eater.
Also, he has a six pack, so he can't eat anything nice and rich.
Nathan Rowe, thanks for saying that.
Yeah.
Chicken God and broccoli and fruit and vegetables.
You should see what you've never seen anything more disheartening and sad than a cast in a new musical at lunchtime. it's eggs and celery.
Almonds.
And yeah, it's ridiculous.
I must say the smell of microwave broccoli is not my favorite.
And Zach, you're talking about Zach Hendricks. Have you seen Zach Hendricks?
I mean,
he is so fit. And I've never seen anyone who
eats more.
Yeah, he eats all the time. But it's rice crackers with peanut butter and natural honey on it. And then he's coming, and then it's.
But in his food, he's also got amazing chicken and veg, but it's got sauce in it.
He goes home and cooks for himself.
Oh, man.
But he burns like 1,000 calories just shaking your hand. He's got energy for days.
I thought I had a slow metabolism, and then I met him and it was really
ridiculous.
Slow.
The interesting thing though is that it's a different business. So when you're doing a movie or an Issy Dinger, you're getting crafts, you're getting meals, you're getting stuff.
Yes.
In the theatre you get sweet bugger bubkis. If you get a little cracker on the opening night, you like, welcome to the little. It's true, guys.
We got a Rubik's Cube.
We got a very. You know what? We actually work. I must say, I have never. This
How
production
is
company
that?
Is fantastic. VR Theatrical. And our whole creative team was fab. Like, where's the Lauder that you've had on the show numerous times? Choreographed.
There again. He's the future. He's going to be part of our industry going forward. He's a great choreographer. He's got a great vibe.
Director.
He's got a great energy. He's going to direct.
He's directed too. But years.
But he should be directing and choreographing. Yep. He's really fantastic.
Is Rock of Ages going to Cape Town?
There's talk. I mean, who knows? Hope. You know, these things. Yeah, it all depends on how this goes.
Because we've got Melanie Burke, who's the chairperson of the Fleur de Cups. How many times, Craig O'Brien, have you won the Fleur de Cups?
Never. I haven't done much in Cape Town.
Okay, see, Melanie, we need to get them out there. Some of these guys. Hey, welcome to the show, Mel.
Good morning. Lovely to talk to you again, Alan.
It's so good to have you. And I know we're not chatting, and the Fleur de Cups are happening next year, and of course you're the chairman of the awards. You're not one of the judges. You just run the awards.
But I'm always interested in hearing what's going on in the landscape, because sometimes we have to make some connections possible.
Yeah, correct.
And you get the salty cracks to the actors when they.
Because in studio we have obviously the wonderful Craig O'Barney and Natasha van der Merwe. Melanie, though, we're going to take your Fleur de Cup Theatre Award hat off, and we're going to put your Street Smart hat on. And it's called Street Smart, and that's not because you're street smart, it's because it's a brilliant initiative. It's a 5 rand that goes onto certain restaurant bills that people, that your patrons pay towards what, Melanie? To handing out money to children on the streets.
Yes, I'm really very thrilled. I'm obviously one of the original members who started the organization, and I'm so happy to say that we're more than 12 years old. And one of the wonderful things about becoming a teenager, because next year we'll be 13, is that we're able to try new things and flex ourselves a little bit more and expand. And so while we've been for the last 12 years working with restaurants only, from the new year, we will also be partnering with accommodation places, and specifically here in the Western Cape, also with wine tasting rooms. And we really, really believe that the principle of giving is so easy. Simply adding 5 rand to a bowl makes it so easy for us to raise the money. And of course, we fund three children's programs, and we specifically fund education, skills development, and family reunification. But I'm really excited to talk to you because I am just having so much joy at the moment. I'm halfway through handing over the money that was raised in
1.2 million rand.
Restaurant partners.
That's 1.2 million rand. You're handing out. You're going to all different. You're going all out the country, just handing out checks. That's all they're doing. Obviously, you're vetting, but you're handing out checks, and I think that's great. Mary, I want to just say, how can people get involved? More restaurants.
Very, very simply. I think most importantly, we're looking for more restaurant accommodation places and wine tasting rooms to become partners with Street Smart. We are also inviting the public to make sure that they dine or eat at a Street Smart restaurant, because we say it's a very simple way. You can give by simply choosing where you dine. The real thing for me that's very important about Street Smart is, while we are a national organization with a broad footprint, we simply want to have deep, deep local impact. And so wherever the money is raised, so if you're in Johannesburg or Cape Town or Knysna or Plessis or Durban, hopefully soon we'll be in Port Elizabeth. We're about to launch and hand over in Oakwood and George as well next week. Wherever you are, and you're making over these donations at the Street Smart Partners, that money stays in that community. So Oakthorn Restaurants raise funds for Oakthorn beneficiaries, which do this work for us. And that's the reason why, you're right, I'm literally flipping around the country handing out money. But that's also very important for me, to go where the money is raised, to have a relationship locally, to work and see the impact of the work that we're doing at a distance from Cape Town, and supporting the local organizations that are in fact at the coalface of making a difference in the lives of young people.
Well, that is brilliant. Melanie Burke, Street Smart, support it. If you see it on the bill, please pay it and be happy, and restaurants join. Thank you for joining us, and we'll chat soon about the Fleur de Cups.
Thank you, Alan. Have a great day.
Melanie Burke. All right, we've got a couple of minutes left, guys. Okay, yeah. So we're going to sing something.
Oh, Hanada.
We can do it a cappella, Rish, if we want. But,
did you say we're going to sing something?
Not we, you. But no, we proverbial.
Listen.
Okay. Craig O'Barney, advice to young people in the business.
Have as many strings to your bow as possible. By that, I mean, don't do what I do, where I can act a little bit. Mm-hmm. I can sing a little bit. I can play a little bit of music. I can learn to read music, so that if you're not acting, you can play in the pit, you can play in an orchestra, you can accompany people, you can read music. Go for singing training. Don't box yourself into one genre. Have as many strings to your bow as possible, and hone those crafts so that you can open up more doors.
Natasha?
I would also say, definitely on what Craig said, absolutely keep as many pots boiling at the same time, do as much as you possibly can. But also, one thing, if I could give advice to anybody, don't ever compare yourself. Everyone's journey is different.
Okay.
And often people, social media gives us the idea that others are doing better than others, and this one's doing that. And everyone sort of thinks that they're living this glamorous life, but actually at the end of the day, no one knows what's really going on behind the fourth wall. And don't compare yourself, because you're not, you are your own individual.
The race is long, and it's only with yourself.
That's it.
Brilliant. On that note, what are we going to sing?
Nothing, Ellen. What do you want from us?
You're going to sing something. Go on.
Guys, it's almost 10 o'clock. Your voices should be
believing.
Warm.
Don't stop believing, I think.
Okay, I'm not singing.
Don't stop. Come on.
It's what they play when they want you to leave. So that Alan's trying to get you out of here.
And we're happy to go. Okay. No, we love it. Thank you for having us here. I'm trying to talk so we don't sing.
Yeah, I
would like to say thank you,
idea.
Nathan. And thank you, Alan. We really love your show. Your
don't
show is so...
stop believing. Hold on to that feeling. Street lights.
See.
People.
To
home. See, Craig, just a small town girl.
I want to rock!
Rock!
Am I a bit loud then, eh?
Go again.
Yeah, it's a bit deaf now.
Listen, so these are the songs. They are...
Don't Stop Believing. Jerry.
Yeah.
Waiting for a Girl. We built the city.
Yeah, we built the city rock and roll. I can't fight this feeling any longer.
Yes, that's a beautiful one.
Yes, that's my and Zuck's song.
Yes.
Okay. Now, that'll be an interesting feeling for Zuck. But
He's a good oak.
Guys, please go down to Gold Reef City to catch Rock of Ages. It's on until?
10th of December.
I know that.
Book it, Compu Ticket.
Get there. It's a great production.
A lot of fun.
Thank you, Craig Abani and Natasha Fundamayo, for joining us in the studio. Don't get that Eat Out magazine if you want great places to eat. You know what to do. It's over there.
Maybe Craig can take me on.
And I love that Street Kids, that Street Wise,
Street Smart initiative.
I think
it's
fantastic.
Isn't it cool that she's the chairperson of the Florida Cup and she's doing this? And she's got a PhD. She's a genius.
Yeah.
I love good people. Nathan Rowe, you have a good week.
Wonderful.
Nathan Rowe, you are good people.
Thank you. I push buttons.
Yes.
All right. I'm going to push them right now. Say goodbye, Alan. Kisses.
Goodbye, everybody. Kisses from coast to coast. This is The Unview, the thin, the rich, and the bloody fabulous.
The Unview on CliffCentral.com.